The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside Alan Flores to bring you another edition of our NFL Straight Cash Podcast for Week 9 of the 2018 NFL season, where we're going to break down every single bet against the spread this weekend, talk about all the trades that happened this deadline, what's going to happen in these key division matchups. We got the Steelers versus the Ravens. We got a potential NFC Conference Championship preview with the Saints and the Rams. We got Sunday night, the Battle of the Goats, the Packers versus the Patriots. We got it all right here for you on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where there's no Bay Area coverage because the Raiders and the 49ers already took care of business on Thursday night. So we're just going to hop straight into this Sunday slate and go over every single bet against the spread. So without further ado, Randy, let them know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie!
Straight cash, homie.
That's right. It's time for Straight Cash Homie right here on the Bay's Golden Days, where we're going to go over every single bet, starting off with the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Cleveland Browns this weekend, where the Cleveland Browns just fired Hugh Jackson. That was expected. But then they followed up and fired Todd Haley, too. No one saw this coming. Who's going to run the team now? Who's going to inspire Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb? Are they going to come out inspired this weekend after getting their butts whooped by the Steelers 33-18? They're now sitting at 2-5-1 on the year. While the Kansas City Chiefs improved to 7-1 last week after getting a win over the Broncos 30-23. They got the W, but for the first time all year, they didn't cover the spread. Ow, what happened? They had a 10-point spread, and they finally let us down. We're off the gravy train, but this week they're back with an 8.5-point spread against the Browns. Another big point line, but Alan, you can go ahead and let us in on this, because the Steelers had an 8-point spread against the Browns last week and they found a way to cover. So do you think the Chiefs can do the same thing and cover that 8.5-point spread against the Browns this week?
Wow, you got to be fully mentally full on retarded if you don't think that this is going to happen. Come on, let's think about this, people. Like Marcus said, Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley, he got fired. Hugh Jackson gets fired. So you got two new coaches. You think they're really going to be ready by the next week? No, absolutely not. Who knows if this offense is even going to be ready with this coach, whatever the hell they want. You think that this is going to be not an 8.5-point lead? Absolutely not. Post Mahomes, he will get it done, and he is going to fucking just glorify this offense on this fucked up offense and defense, the Browns. Fuck them, and I love it. Chiefs 8.5.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs definitely win this game. They're probably my money line lock of the week. I mean, I don't see there's any way possible for the Browns to cover, but the Browns have been 4-1 against the spread in games played against the Kansas City Chiefs since 2008. We know how bad the Browns have been over the past couple years, but they somehow seem to keep games close against the Chiefs. Of course, this is now a whole new era of the Chiefs with Post Mahomes. Like Alan said, he's going to go in there and ball out with his offense with all the weapons they have. On the defensive side, it's going to be interesting if they could slow down Baker in this offense, because they did get things going a little bit since Nick Chubb has taken over that backfield, and the Kansas City Chiefs are missing their middle linebacker, Hutchinson. He's got a bruised rib, so the Browns might be over to run on him. But I'm going with Alan, too. If the Steelers were able to cover that 8-point spread, I think the Chiefs on the road, they still get the job done. So I'm definitely locking them in for the money line of the week. And if I had to pick the points, I'm sticking with the Chiefs, not getting burned by the Browns in the points again. I'm sticking with Post Mahomes and the Chiefs. Let's go ahead and move on to our next game, where we got Matty Ice coming off a bye, taking on the Washington Redskins. The Washington Redskins improved to 5-2 on the year as they beat the Giants last week 20-13. They are dealing with a couple injuries still. Chris Thomas tried to come back to that game, then he went out. So it looks like it's all AP in the backfield, but they are missing their left tackle, Trent Williams. So I think that's going to be a big factor in this game. Going against Vic Beasley on the outside, he's going to bring a lot of pass rush for this Falcons defense that is lacking a lot of playmakers, like we've been talking about a lot on the podcast this year. So I think the Falcons, with 2 weeks to prepare against this defense, they are very good against the run, but there's no Devontae Freeman. They still got Ito Smith and Tevin Coleman, but I think the Falcons are going to have to pass to win this game. Josh Norman did have his showcase game against the Panthers, but I just don't think that they have enough to slow down Julio, Calvin Ridley, and everything that Matt Ryan is doing with his offense this year. I'm going to go ahead and take the Falcons +1.5. This was a point spread that surprised me this week. I didn't think the Falcons coming off a bye would be an underdog. They're 4-0 against the spread in road games when coming off a bye since the start of the 2009 season. So this is one of the easy upset picks for me. I'm definitely going with Matty Ice and the Falcons +1.5 points.
Yeah, well, there goes another week. I had to disagree. I am taking the Redskins -1.5. I just don't think this Falcons defense can handle AP, who apparently did not practice Wednesday, but Jesus Christ, they say that every fucking week. It's like they like to play with our emotions. But how we seen him last week, there's no stopping him right now. The Maroon Messiah. You heard it here, folks. I am thinking that this defense is not going to let Matty Ice do what he does. I don't think Julio Jones is not going to get a touchdown yet on this fucking squad. I feel like Josh Norman will give him a good run. I just, the points, 47, do not like that. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game, actually. I don't think the Falcons have what it takes.
That's a pretty good, interesting point, Al, with the under. If you think the Redskins are going to be able to slow down this Falcons offense, the under has hit 10 out of the last 12 times in games Atlanta has played against an opponent with a winning record since the start of last season. So, I mean, Atlanta, they don't step up in big-time games. The Washington Redskins defense continues to get better with HaHa Clinton Dix just traded from the Green Bay Packers. You know, Alan, you make good points. But I got to believe, like I said, the Falcons 4-0 on the road coming off a bye. Matty Ice, and I think his offense is just too high-powered. I'm staying away from the over-under because it could go either way. It could be the Washington Redskins shut down this Falcons offense, or they can just explode and it's going to be a shootout, and I don't think Alex Smith is going to be able to keep up with Matt Ryan.
Look, if you want to be smart about it, you can just stay away from this pick, you know? These are two teams where you just don't know. Like Marcus is saying, you don't know. So if you don't know, then stay away from the pick. But you know what? It is what it is. We got to agree to disagree.
Yeah, agree to disagree. And I can tell you one thing that we agreed that we didn't know last week. We didn't know the Detroit Lions were going to get whooped by the Seattle Seahawks 28-14. God damn, as we segue into our next game, let's go ahead and talk about the Lions taking on the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. Like we said, surprise upset of the week. The Seahawks came out and actually ran the ball down the throat of the Detroit Lions. I don't know what the Detroit Lions' plan is now. They went ahead and shipped off Golden Tate to the Eagles. I mean, are you trying to win games? You just traded for snacks from the Giants for your defensive line. You're trying to get better? Are you trying to get worse? I don't know. But one thing I do know is that we picked against the Vikings last week, so at least we covered on that one. When we took the Saints over the Vikings to cover that spread, they ended up winning the game 30-20. And the Minnesota Vikings, they could be getting some help back because it looked like they needed it after that game against the Saints. They're getting Dalvin Cook back to practice in back-to-back games, so look for them to possibly roll him out this weekend. And also Xavier Rhodes is back in practice, so that's going to be huge, taking on either Kenny Golladay or Marvin Jones or whoever the number one wide receiver is now for the Detroit Lions. This is a game where the point spread is set at 4.5 in favor of the Vikings. I like the Vikings on this one, and I like the under of 49.5. I think the defenses will both step up in this game and keep it low scoring, but at the end of the day, I got to go with the Vikings to bounce back and take out the Lions by 4.5 points.
I agree. I do agree. And, you know, especially even with Diggs expected to play with a rib injury, I still think that they get this done. Stafford just looked like shit. I mean, Seahawks defense looked like the young defense that they had. I was just surprised. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry for that pick. You know, we were wrong. But I don't see the Lions coming through. I see Golladay having a nice game, though. Expect Golladay to have a bigger value after Tate had fucking departure. But he will not have enough effect to get this Vikings defense.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think this defense is going to be too much for them. Where you stand on the over-under 49, I think this is a low-scoring game where first 1-21 might win, and then obviously that won't cover the 49-point spread. I'm sticking on the under. Where are you at, Al?
I'm sticking with the under, too. I don't see Stafford doing anything, honestly. I mean, I might expect some big passes, but I don't expect him to have clutch touchdowns. He's just not going to get it done. He did not look like he can get it done last week. All he did was fucking give the ball to Kerryon Johnson. I swear, Kerryon Johnson looked like he switched positions. Last week, he ran for over 150 yards. This week, he got like 70-something yards in receiving. That's all he really did. I don't see anything coming out of this game other than the Vikings coming with this win and covering the spread, and it'll be under.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Al. I like the Vikings -4.5 points, and I like that under 49, and get this, the under is 5-0 in games that Detroit has played on the road against Minnesota since the start of the 2013 season. So look at that, the numbers are on our side. Go ahead and lock in the under of 49 and the Vikings by 4.5. Let's go ahead and move on to our next matchup now, where we got the New York Jets taking on the Miami Dolphins in a game that I honestly don't even want to watch this Sunday. It should be pretty ugly, especially with Ryan Tannehill still out. Brock Osweiler is still back, but they got absolutely blown out last week against the Texans, 42-23 in a game that we told you to take the Texans. This is a game that two teams in the AFC East division, they've already played once before this year. The Dolphins beat the Jets in week 2, 20-12, and they're favored in this game now by 3. But I think I like the Jets and the points. Sam Darnold has been improving slowly week by week. I don't like Brock Osweiler, obviously. I do like this Jets defense. They have been playing up and down this year. I think they're able to force turnovers against Brock Osweiler. I think it's going to be another low-scoring game. So I'm going to go ahead and lock in the Jets plus 3 points and take the under 45. Where do you stand on this game between the Jets and the Dolphins, Al?
Look here, people. I'm sorry about last week with the Jets. But this week, I'm sticking with the Jets. I do not see the Dolphins covering this whatsoever, especially with Brock Osweiler as quarterback. Look, Jets defense, honestly, they did okay against Chicago. I mean, I kind of expected Trubisky to have a better game, but knowing this Jets defense, it did not work. Crowell, he did not look good. I'm looking for him to bounce back against this Miami defense, including their new guy, Elijah McGuire. He's supposed to be back, hopefully. Maybe that'll expand his role a little bit off of a foot injury from the IR, but you know, Dolphins, yeah, no, not going to see it. Is it 45? I do expect it to be a shootout. I like the over 45. I can see Sam Darnold throwing a couple, and I can also see Brock Osweiler breaking off another one, another couple. But fuck the Dolphins. We're taking the Jets, boy.
Yeah, we're taking the Jets plus 3. We disagree on the over-under. I think it'll stay under. I don't think it'll go over. Well, that's the thing. Miami, they have the 27th worth defense, but they got the 27th worth offense. So you never know when they're going to score. You never know when they're going to put up points or let up points. I mean, it's just a mess with the Miami Dolphins. So that's why we're taking the Jets plus 3. And historically, the Jets are 10-2-2 against the spread in road games, played against the Miami Dolphins since the start of the 2003 season. So the Jets seem like they got the Miami trip figured out. I mean, hell, when you're playing games down in Miami, hell, in what, the start of November now, I'd want to get away from New Jersey and New York weather too and go play down in Miami. And I'd cover the spread every single time I play down there, living the life, kind of like Le'Veon Bell down there on his jet ski right now, right there.
Absolutely.
Or Odell Beckham smoking his blunt on the yacht right now.
With a field goal post.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and move on to those Pittsburgh Steelers. Look at that. What a coincidence. Those are the next team up there we're going to talk about Le'Veon Bell still holding out, still not back on the team. So we're still not going to talk about him on the podcast because James Connor has been an absolutely beast this year. He's putting up pretty much almost the same numbers, if not better in some categories. I'm pretty sure he has more rushing touchdowns than Le'Veon Bell has ever had. James Connor has been an absolute beast, and the Pittsburgh Steelers bounced back on the back of James Connor last week to beat the Browns 33-18, cover that 8-point spread just like Allen said they would, and they got another test taken on the Baltimore Ravens this week, where this is a rematch. This is their second matchup of the year now. The Ravens beat the Steelers in week 4, 26-14. But get this, since their week 4 meeting, the Steelers have won 3 in a row, while the Ravens have went 1-3 during that span. I think the Ravens are going downward, while the Steelers trend is going upward. I like the Steelers plus 3 in this game, but let's go ahead and turn it over to the residential Steeler fan, Alan, to break it down all for us. Who do you have in this AFC North division matchup?
Let's fucking go, by the way, people. I told y'all the Browns cannot see us. That was a fucking glorifying pick. I love it. With this week, you know I'm going with my boys again. This is revenge, baby. They beat us in our home. Now we're going to beat them in theirs. And I got 3 words for you people. James fucking Connor. 146 yards last week. 2 tugs. And he will do that against the Ravens defense. Let me tell you, this Ravens defense, we've been talking about and we've been giving them a lot of hype, but it looked like they've been getting a little decrease. I mean, look what the Panthers did. Panthers can't even fucking, they couldn't score on the Eagles, but now they score on the Ravens, and the Ravens is supposed to be the most talked about defense right now. So I expect our offense to come back hungry, especially with that 47.5. Oh, God, guys, just because I said we're going to win doesn't mean that they're not going to put up points on us. I expect John Brown to have a good 2 tugs because that's just what he does against us. I mean, especially he needs to bounce back after that 2 receptions for 28 yards. He needs to bounce back from last week, and he probably will. 1, this is a divisional game, and 2, he's at home, ready to play Steelers. And 3, again, this is a divisional game. Expect the Steelers to cover this fucking game. Do not take the Ravens. You guys are pussies if you take the Ravens. And I am rolling with my boys, and one thing that we need to avoid the most, fucking penalties. And these aren't even bullshit penalties, Marcus. We are fucking getting these penalties on our own. I'm seeing these guys actually getting these penalties and not by bullshit. We need to avoid it, and I hope we do. I hope the Ravens do not give them no fucking penalties at their home. Otherwise, I will call collusion. Other than that, go Steelers, baby.
I have to agree with you. I don't know about the go Steelers, but I agree with you on the pick for the Steelers. Plus 3 points in this game against the Baltimore Ravens. But I'm kind of interested what you said on your take with the over-under sat at 47.5. We saw the last game where the Ravens scored 26, the Steelers only 14. That obviously wouldn't cover the spread. But do you think the Ravens are going to go back up there and have 26 points? Because they are missing three of their offensive linemen from practice this week. You got to keep an eye on who's playing, who's not. One of their best offensive linemen, Hurst, was out all week. So it's going to be interesting how they hold up, because surprisingly, the Pittsburgh Steelers defense stepped up last week. It's one of the reasons why both Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley got fired. So this is an interesting game because the under is 4-0 in games that Pittsburgh has played on the road against Baltimore since the 2014 season. We know these games are usually close between the Ravens and the Steelers. That's why I think it's a lock getting the Steelers plus three, because even if the Ravens do somehow figure out a way to win this game, it's only going to be by a Justin Tucker field goal, if anything. But I like the Steelers to ultimately win this game. I'm just kind of up in the air with the over-under because the historic nature of all the close games that we've seen between these two teams in the past.
Well, I have to say, I do admire what you're saying, and I get it, but you know, the way I see it is the first game, yeah, we played like some shit. Both of us played shitty. But for some reason, I feel a bounce back between both teams just because, you know, we're still playing for first. Like, they're 4-4, yeah, and we're 4-2. But, you know, us losing could be a whole new significant to them. That gives them still a shot to go back in first, you know, that we still have a whole half of a season. I still see this team against the Steelers hungry. And I feel like we're going to be hungry because we want revenge. So, you know, this is later on in the season. James Conner's, you know, getting a lot of fucking touches, a lot of hype. I expect him to go off on at least two tugs. And that's already 14 points right there. And who knows what Juju and Antonio Brown can do. I expect this game to be high shootout, okay? You heard it here first.
All right. Hey, I hear you there. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their offense can shoot out against anybody. Like you said, the Ravens lit up 36 to the Panthers last week, so they don't really have the momentum going for them. They are back at home, but hey, at the end of the day, let's just lock in the Steelers plus 3 points and go ahead and move on to our next game, where we had another guy who, talking about bounce backs, bounced back last week with a little bit of Fitz magic after he comes in the second half. Did screw over our pick because we took the Bengals minus 4.5. The Bengals ended up winning 37-34. I mean, shit, we covered the spread against Jameis Winston. We just didn't cover the spread against Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, he came in the second half with a little touch of Fitz magic. I mean, he was connected with Mike Evans. I told you his numbers go up and down depending who his quarterback is. I'm done with Jameis Winston. I want to ride out with Fitzpatrick for the rest of the season. They're actually the underdog in this game against the Carolina Panthers, plus 6.5 points, because the Panthers, as we talked about, took care of the Ravens last week, had a mighty impressive win at home, and they're at home again. And what have I been telling you the past 3-4 weeks? The Carolina Panthers are undefeated at home, one of the best home teams in the NFL this year. They have had a couple injury issues with like Torrey Smith with his knee injury, but then they have rookies like DJ Moore stepping up and providing another offensive weapon for Cam Newton. Christian McCaffrey had a couple touchdowns last week. One was a little lucky, bounced off the helmet, but either way, they're finding ways to get into the end zone. They're favored by 6.5 in this game, and I think they can do it against this Buccaneers offense that has been up and down. We don't know if Fitzpatrick is going to come in and lead a heroic comeback, or if he's going to get benched at halftime for Jameis Winston. I mean, this team is just too unreliable, and then you talk about all the injuries on the defense side of the ball. I mean, you just can't trust him. JPP is all banged up. He's got a rib and a foot injury. Mike Evans is dealing with a knee injury. I mean, there's just too many questions on this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense for me to have any faith in them. So for those reasons alone, I'm going to go ahead and take the Carolina Panthers by 6.5 points.
Yeah, you know what, Marcus? I think for once in this season, I'm just going to listen to you about the Panthers, because it seems to me I've been having the inconsistency with the Panthers. So I'm just going to agree right there. Because, again, yes, the Buccaneers' defense is just, without Quan, sure, you got Lavonte David, but without Quan, that's like the Pittsburgh Steelers losing Shazier right there. I mean, that's your linebacker. At the end of the game, or at the end of the day, it's either going to be Fitz magic or Fitz tragic, okay? Mike Evans plays. We all know that his value goes up with Fitzpatrick in the game. We all know that. Jameis Winston can't throw a fucking ball to Mike Evans. He sure as hell loves DeSean Jackson, but he doesn't love Mike Evans. I don't know why, but we will see a lot more Mike Evans because of Fitzmagic. And let's also talk, there's also still no standout in that backfield. Like, no one is taking over in this Bucs backfield, okay? And they're going to be at the Panthers stadium. Panthers coming off a huge win against the Ravens. I didn't expect the Panthers to win at all, honestly. You know, like Marcus said, he chose the Panthers, but I didn't. That's my fault. But the Panthers, they're rolling right now. They're inconsistent, but they're rolling. I feel like they're going to do it again because they're at home. Reed is still looking like he's getting used to that team. I like the way he's playing. So let's take the fucking Panthers. -6.5. 54.5. I don't know, Marcus. I feel like that's going to be an under, though.
You know, I'm going back and forth just because of the inconsistencies with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense. But get this, their defense has allowed an average of 40 points and 444 total yards in all their road games this year. The Carolina Panthers are hot right now, and they're 7-3 against the spread in games played against Tampa Bay since the start of the 2013 season. So they got their number. I think the Panthers alone can put up 30 points in this game. I'm willing to roll the dice on a little bit of Fitz magic to hit that over. I'll go ahead and take the over of 54.5.
Damn. All right. I like the way you're going with Fitzmagic, you know? God damn it, Marcus. This is hard. I don't know, people. This is a head scratcher for me. Honestly, I would just do a money line Panthers. I would stay away from the over under. I don't know. I do not know, Marcus. This is one where I cannot say. Because, like you said, and like I said, Panthers are inconsistent. They don't know if they want to score hella points or they don't know if they want to just play off this whole fucking shit until the fourth quarter and win. I'm not going to roll the dice on that one, Marcus. I want to be smart, okay? I ain't scared. I'm smart.
Hey, scared money don't make no money, but sometimes smart money saves you some money. So why not, Alan? Be smart. Save your money. And hey, that's always the thing. If you don't got a gut feeling going into these games, don't bet. No matter what I say, no matter what the so-called experts will say to whether fade the public or whatever hell their betting tips are, go ahead and go with your gut and go what you want. But I'm going to go ahead and go with the Panthers because, like I said, they're undefeated at home. And I'm sticking with Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey, trying to make moves in his NFC South. They're sitting with a 5-2 record. Quietly looking like a playoff team that no one's really talking about. I like the Carolina Panthers over the Buccaneers by a touchdown. But let's go ahead and keep it moving out to our next game of the week, where we got the Chicago Bears taking on the Buffalo Bills, which is another game that I don't want to watch. And obviously the Vegas oddmakers didn't want to watch either, because they set a probably season low, I think, under at 37.5 points. I haven't seen an under over like that probably since some Pop Warner football. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, that's barely any points. They're looking at a couple touchdowns apiece. But who knows with the Buffalo Bills, because they got Nathan Peterman starting the game. You thought it was bad when they bring back Derek Anderson. Well, the old man got a concussion. I don't want to give him Alzheimer or anything, so let's not rush him back this week. They're going to go ahead and start Nathan Peterman. And we all know Nathan Peterman with his 5-6 pick performances, whatever the hell it is. Nathan Peterman has been terrible, so I think he's going to give the Chicago Bears a points. At least throw one or two pick sixes. I'm definitely putting one on the board. So that's 6-7 points for the Bears alone, and they're going to need it because they're a 10-point favorite. And this is where things start getting a little sketchy, because you've heard us talk about it here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast before, where these double-digit numbers in the NFL, they're sketchy. Let's just be honest with you. Double-digit numbers are usually safe for college football. When you start bringing it into the NFL, when you got quarterbacks inconsistent as Mitchell Trubisky, when you got to go on the road to Buffalo, a place that's not that easy to play this time of year, it makes it interesting. I definitely think the Bears are going to win. Getting Khalil Mack back this weekend, getting Allen Robinson back this weekend, they're definitely one of my money line lock of the weeks. But that 10-point spread, I'm not really feeling it. I don't know. It could be a couple pick sixes and this defense shuts them out 21-0, 14-0. But that 10-point spread is just too scary for me. I'm going to have to go with the Bears on the money line. Allen, what about you? You got a feeling going either way on the 10-point spread?
Yeah, I got a feeling. And that feeling is the Bills. I like the Bills at plus 10. I mean, let's look at Monday night against the Patriots. Patriots didn't really do shit until fucking Peterman came in. Had to get that pick six. Made it 25-6. So I'm not saying that the Bills are going to do a shitload on their offense, but their defense, I mean, look what Tom Brady did. I mean, Tom Brady was not really Tom Brady. I mean, they scored, yeah, but just, I thought this would be easy. I thought that this was going to be a fucking cakewalk for the Patriots, but they made it look like the Bills were actually giving them some type of competition. And the Bears didn't even look too good against the Jets. They barely won as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not saying the Bears are going to lose, but I don't think they're going to win by 10. 37.5 points. I'll tell you this. If it's snowing, you take the under. If it's not snowing, you take the over. I mean, like what Marcus said, I think the Bears can get at least one pick six, maybe two. I can see Cohen even getting a screen because this guy's breaking touchdowns each game. Jordan Howard had a good game rushing. Why can't he rush on the Bills? He might, but the Bills' defense, they surprised me against the Patriots. So I would take the Bills plus 10, and I would take the over if it's not snowing.
Yeah, Alan, that's not a bad idea. The Bills are 5-1 against the spread in games played at home following a home game since the start of 2016. So I guess once they get back-to-back weeks to settle in, they put their anchors down and play some good defense because this defense has been playing pretty well. It's going to be interesting to see Trayvon Edmonds, their stud standout first-round rookie this year, did go into the concussion protocol last week when he left the game. If he's back, he's a big piece for this offense. They got Tre'Davious White on the outside, another corner that's playing extremely well this year. I mean, this defense, they got a lot of underrated pieces. They've been playing pretty well. I'm right there with you, Alan. I might have to take the Bills plus 10, but at the end of the day, I'm definitely just taking the Bears on the money line, throwing it on the back end of a parlay or a teaser or whatever you want, and just be rather safe than sorry. Let's go ahead and move on to our next game now, where we got the Seattle Seahawks taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. And the Seahawks, like we said, were the surprise upset last week. Let us just apologize to you. We absolutely took the Lions, did not see this one coming. The Lions off a bye absolutely laid a goose egg, while the Seahawks put on a show and whooped them 28-14. And the only thing I'm more surprised by that win is this point spread in this game, because the Seattle Seahawks are favored by 1 point. I know that's a big win over Matthew Stafford and the Lions this week, but this is Phillip Rivers coming off a bye week. I mean, this guy has been playing phenomenal all this year. The Chargers in general have been playing phenomenal this year. They might be getting Melvin Gordon back. He's been at practice this week. I mean, this is a team that's 5-2 on the year. The only two teams they've lost to are the unbeaten Rams and the 7-1 Chiefs. I mean, those two teams, that could be a Super Bowl matchup right there between the Chiefs and the Rams. Those are the only two teams that have defeated the Chargers this year. They've been hot this year. And coming off a bye, I think Phillip Rivers is going to have the Seattle Seahawks defense number. They did play well the past couple weeks, but I don't think it stands. Like I said, with Melvin Gordon coming back, they got a lot of offensive pieces. They got the Williams brothers both going off. Keenan Allen has been getting involved. And the Chargers are 21-12 against the spread as a road underdog since the start of the 2014. I talked about it before with these Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Some people say Phillip's there. I say he's not on the verge yet because he doesn't got a Super Bowl ring. But that's another argument for a whole other podcast. But still, one of the greatest Charger quarterbacks of all time. There's not going to be too many opportunities for you to get Phillip Rivers and this Chargers team plus points. So I'm going to go ahead and definitely take the Chargers plus 1.5 on the road visiting the 12th man against the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, see, you said it right there, the 12th man. That is what's keeping me thinking the Seahawks are going to win. And let me tell y'all people, Russell Wilson, he's got to be listening to this podcast. He's got to be listening to this podcast because I said he was going to take a shit. Like, he just wasn't going to be Russell Wilson at all after him fucking seeing Sierra. But the way I seen him fucking have his way with the Lions, it was like watching a pit bull maul a chihuahua. It was disgusting. Now, I never thought I'd say this, but Phillip Rivers, yes, he is killing it. You know, he's a fucking crybaby bitch, but it's Phillip Rivers, and he gets it done with that little arm of his. But 47 points, or was it, what is it, 48 points? I like it. I like the over. Chargers and Seahawks, they will score a lot of points, and I feel like Russell Wilson is going to pull this out, be 90% of that offense that he is at home. I don't have to say no more, folks. I like the Chargers. I'll agree that they have been doing it, but this might be the game where they choke. They might choke. Or they will choke. Seahawks, baby, let's go.
The return of the super chokers. Will they come back this weekend? I mean, it's about that time of the year. They're 5-2 right now. Like I said, I've only lost to the Chiefs and the Rams. They've been playing extremely well. But this is about a time where the Chargers fall off. I don't know if I'm there quite yet. I think they're going to wait a couple more games until they get to the playoffs to at least to choke until we get the full San Diego Super. Los Angeles Super. Doesn't matter what part of SoCal you're in. You're just like the Dodgers. Kershaw in the ninth inning. Oh, we're not an MLB. This is an NFL podcast. Sorry to hurt your feeling, LA fans, but let's go ahead and keep talking about these LA Chargers. I'm going to go ahead and at least pick them plus 1.5 this week. I'm right there with Alan. I like the over of 48 points. The over has hit 14 out of 18 times in games that have played in Seattle at home in November under head coach Pete Carroll. I don't know what it is about the November weather up in Seattle, but for some reason it gets Russell Wilson horny. And like we said, he's getting his soul sucked by Sierra on the weekend. And we thought it was going to suck the energy out of him. But hey, the man's married. He can have as much sex as he wants, and he's putting up as many points as he wants. And that's what we like, because we both like the over. We're going to agree to disagree on who wins this game. Alan's taking the Seahawks. I'm taking the Chargers. But we're both taking the over of 48 points. And let's go ahead and keep it moving now to our next matchup of the week, where this might have a little underlying tensions because we had a couple guys get traded and then go back to playing the team that just traded them, as the Denver Broncos are taking on the Houston Texans. They traded Demaryius Thomas. So Demaryius Thomas is going to have to move to Houston Texans for a week just to travel back to Denver to play another game in the road locker room against a team that just traded him. So I think there's definitely going to be some bad feelings on that side of the ball, at least. I think Demaryius probably has a good game because Will Fuller is out, tore his ACL. He's now on the IR, so that's an instant spot that he can fill. Deshaun Watson, we've seen what he's been doing lately. Just blew out the Dolphins 42-23. Absolutely blew them out. They're 5-3 now. They've won 5 straight games. They're playing fantastic, and we're getting them on the road. Plus 1 point. This is a game that I definitely like the Texans. The Denver Broncos are dealing with a few injuries. Royce Freeman, the rookie running back, is still dealing with an ankle injury. That's not too big of an issue because Lindsey is still filling in. He's getting his rolling. But at the end of the day, I can't trust Case Keenum in this defense. With Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the outsides, they got a chance to put pressure on anybody, but the Houston Texans can match that on the flip side with J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. I think that's going to be a key factor to this game. And the Broncos defense, they might be missing Bradley Roby, their number two corner, so that's going to leave matchups wide open for Demaryius all day. So I'm going to go ahead and take Thomas, getting his revenge against the Broncos, plus 1 point in the Houston Texans.
Well, well, well. Texans got themselves a new weapon. Demaryius Thomas. Oh, okay. You know what? Let's go. We're going to take the Texans on this, okay? Let me explain something to y'all, okay? We all seen what DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller can do, right? They kind of look like the same receivers, you know, just fucking fast-ass guys, except the fact that DeAndre Hopkins is more of a fucking freak, more of an alien out of this world. Now, Demaryius Thomas is a whole different receiver. He's a fucking more of like a monster-type receiver. So now you got a fast, agile freak with a veteran. Like a fucking beast. Still a beast as a veteran. Like, Deshaun Watson, he might be able to use that pretty good as a weapon, you know? He doesn't have to worry about throwing the deep ball all the time. He could just go with DeAndre Hopkins on those little routes and then throw the deep ball to Demaryius Thomas. And I do agree with Marcus. This defense, this Texans defense, J.J. Watt and Clowney, they're going to fucking kill Keenum. I wouldn't be surprised if Keenum is injured. And then, you know, honestly, it was going to be a head-scratcher for me, but then I didn't know about all these injuries with the Broncos defense. So that's going to give Deshaun Watson a whole lot of revenge. This will be under 46.5. This will be under. This is not going to be a high-scoring game at all. This is going to be a pure defensive game. I mean, we've seen what Deshaun Watson did last week. Okay, this is like his first big game that we've seen since last season. This whole season so far, he has been nothing but decent. Okay, I know that because he's on my fantasy team, so I'm kind of a expert on that. So, yeah, he had a good game this week, but I think he's going to go back to decent this week. I do not see a shootout going on, but the Texans will prevail to get this plus one.
Yeah, decent might be good enough for Deshaun Watson to get it done this weekend against the Denver Broncos. Like Alan said, we both like him plus one, and I'm right there with you with the under 46.5 for that sole reason I said. On one side, you got Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt. On the other side, you got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller. I mean, these are probably four, if not three, and one of the youngest up-and-coming draft picks, because obviously Chubb was just a rookie this year. But four of the top pass rushers in the NFL getting after the quarterbacks. I think there's going to be a lot of sacks in this game because we've seen the Texans offensive line get beat up, and we've seen the Broncos offensive line, what Khalil Mack has done to them before, the 5-sack performance. But oh my god, that's in the past now. That's nothing to look forward to. But Jadeveon Clowney said he's going to be the next Khalil Mack, going to be the next all-pro outside linebacker defense, and well, let's see if he can get a job done this weekend against the Denver Broncos, plus 1.5 points.
I like to point out, people, let's not forget the fact that Texans are on a 5-game winning streak. They may have looked ugly, but we all know that old saying, a win's a win.
Make it six. Why not? And if you want to talk about who's hot right now in the NFL, let's talk about the hottest team in the NFL without a doubt. It's the Los Angeles Rams, who are sitting there with an 8-0 record after they went and won last week 29-27. Got a close victory. We were able to bring it out against the Green Bay Packers. We told you to take the Packers plus the points, and they covered. So way to go, Aaron Rodgers. Got the points, but we'll get to more of him later with his matchup with Tom Brady. For now, let's talk about the team that actually won the game, the Los Angeles Rams. They would have had a chance to cover, but Todd Gurley slides down in the last 5 yards. I don't want to hear it from you degenerate gamblers. I don't want to hear it from you fantasy players. He made the smart decision. He's obviously got to think about himself first and not everybody's personal needs with their fantasy team and their bets. Todd Gurley did the smart thing, went ahead, slid down, got the W, and the Rams right now, the only undefeated team in the league, will be on the road, and they're getting points. Yes, I think this might be the one time this year that they are getting plus points. They are the underdog, plus 1.5 points, because they're going to the Superdome to take on Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, who are arguably just as hot. They're 6-1 on the year. Got the W last week as the underdog against the Vikings, 30-20. We've been telling you take Drew Brees back-to-back plus points. Maybe if he was getting points at home as a home dog, this might be a smart bet. But I definitely got to go with the Rams getting points on the road. This might go back and forth. The line's probably going to move. It might just end up a pick 'em. And honestly, you got to stick with the hottest team this year, who just keeps on stacking up and adding more and more talent. You want to talk about a defensive line that already had 2 to 3 first-round draft picks on it? They got another one. They just traded for Dante Fowler, former number 3 overall draft pick, a guy who I believe had at least double-digit sacks last year with the Jaguars. They ended up shipping him to the Rams. So who the hell can you double-team? Nobody. You can't double-team Sue. You can't double-team Donald. And now you can't double-team Dante Fowler either. So it's going to be easy pick-ems for this Rams team, who's going to have to get after Drew Brees to slow him down. We saw he didn't have the biggest number performance last week, still got the W, but I think this Rams defense, they're just got too much talent, and then this offense is putting up too much damn points. I think each team is going to be scoring left and right. It might be who has the ball last, but ultimately I got to go with the Rams. I like them in this game, plus 1.5 points, and then the over-under sitting at 59. I think both these teams can easily put up 30 points. This might be the highest scoring game of the year. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be the NFC Conference Championship preview, and it's going to be one hell of a game to watch. But I'm going to have to go with Todd Gurley going for MVP this year to win against the Saints, plus 1.5 points.
Ugh. Pure disrespect. The Saints to win. Wow. The Rams are 8-0, and just because you got Drew Brees, you pick them to win. Didn't they pick the fucking Rams to win against Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, they did. Look, I'm not trying to knock Drew Brees, but that was Aaron Rodgers. Now you're going to allow Drew Brees to have them win by 1.5. Let me tell you something here, okay? The Rams are 8-0. Their defense is fucking great. And Gurley is just a fucking monster. And let me say off topic, fuck our friend Shorty, him bitching like a degenerate gambler. Gurley did what he did to win. But this week, the Rams are definitely going to take this by 1.5. I mean, they beat the Packers by 3. That's all we fucking needed. And they could do it again this week on the road, too. It's going to happen. Like, Goff is just too hot. No one can stop Robert Woods. The Saints defense is not, you know, they're not the elite defense. Lattimore is kind of doing okay. But they got more than just Robert Woods. They got Brandon Cooks. I don't know if Cooper Kupp is going to be playing, but he might. But Jesus Christ, all you need is Gurley. That's all you need. And he is going to have a huge game. He's going to have a better game against the Saints than he will against the Niners. I will guarantee that. Like, do not take... This is a for sure pick for me. I can't believe they disrespected the Rams like this, Marcus. This is just... Rams by 1.5, people. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't understand how you have an undefeated team this year that hasn't lost, and you have them as the underdog. Now, I get it. It's Drew Brees. But they're undefeated. They're 8-0 this year. I know they haven't been the greatest team against the spread, only with a 4-3-1 record, but that's usually because they got double-digit spreads to try to cover. This week, you're getting the Rams plus points. I think you automatically got to check it in. Definitely take the Rams. I'm definitely taking the over. Obviously, a high-scoring game between two of the most high-scoring teams in the NFL.
Look, guys, if you're going to think about it, really, Vegas has to know something we don't. If they're, like, I'm flabbergasted. The Saints by 1.5. Vegas knows something, people. Okay, they might know something. I'm praying that they don't, but that's the only explanation I can think of.
Or Vegas doesn't know anything because Vegas told you that the Rams were going to win by more than 9 points last week against the Packers. And the expertise, the experts who supposedly said, oh, the public's on the Packers plus 9, which means bet against the public. Really? That's your excuse? That's why you're going to bet against Aaron Rodgers just because the public's on him? You've got to give me a better reason than that. Come on. It's Aaron Rodgers plus 9 points, and we told you to take those 9 points, and of course Aaron Rodgers covered. I mean, we thought this was an absolutely crazy stat line. So for all you expert bettors, tune into the Bay's Golden Days, baby, because the Straight Cash Podcast went with the public, even though you're not supposed to, and got Aaron Rodgers plus 9 last week to get the victory. And this week, Aaron Rodgers is getting plus points again on the road against the New England Patriots. The Patriots are favored by 5.5 points after getting a, I guess that you call it an impressive victory over the Bills? No, because it was a one-score game through three quarters, but then they absolutely blitzed them in the fourth quarter and ended up winning 25-6, while the Packers kept it close. It was a respectable game. Hell, if Ty Montgomery doesn't run out that kick return, Aaron Rodgers has a chance to come back and try to win that game. Instead, Ty Montgomery gets traded to the Ravens. Cut snipped off. See you later, kid. The Green Bay Packers ain't got no time for it. If you're going to disrespect Aaron Rodgers and the coach and run it out even though they told you not to it, they're shipping you out. But one team I think that's shipping in this weekend is the Packers, the Foxborough, and I think they cover the spread with those 5.5 points. This is going to be an interesting back-and-forth matchup with Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, two of the greatest of our generation, no doubt about it. People want to argue who's the GOAT between the two of them. I mean, shit, we got to get them in a Super Bowl one time before, but I don't know if the Packers defense is going to be able to drag them to the Super Bowl, but we've said the same thing about the Patriots, and Tom Brady's been able to do it. I think this is a great matchup. We should get this matchup every single year, and I think it's going to be the cliche, whoever has the ball last. So it might come down to who has the better kicker, who's going to cover the spread. But shit, if you're giving me Aaron Rodgers plus 5.5 points, I think he keeps it close enough. Him and Tom Brady go back and forth. I think the Patriots ultimately might end up winning, but I'm going to go ahead and have to take Aaron Rodgers plus the 5.5 points, Al.
Oh, yeah. Look what we gave you, people. We gave you, what do we call it? Free money. That's what we gave you. If you fuckers took the Rams, then you guys do not deserve to listen to this podcast. It's Aaron Rodgers, okay? Plus 5.5, he's going to fucking get it with by 3. This will probably be another field goal game. I mean, let's look at what the Patriots did against the Bills. They barely did anything, okay? This Packers defense, fun fact for you, they did better than the Vikings did against the Rams in week 4. And Vikings defense has always been more hyped as a defense than Green Bay. And look what the Packers did. They fucking held them enough to have a good game and cover that spread. They're going to cover this fucking New England spread. These New England Patriots. Oh, I'm sorry, Patriots. Okay, despite it being in Gillette Stadium, you know, Patriots home, I still think Aaron Rodgers covers it. Shit, bold prediction here. Hail Mary, either the end of the second half or the end of the game. Fucking write me down for it, okay? Aaron Rodgers, let's go, baby. And I do love the over, 57. James White just might break a couple tugs, because you know what? In this era of running backs, it seems to me that they're receivers more than running backs now. All it is a bunch of dump offs. That's all I'm seeing these days. But it works. Do what works. Do what fucking works. And that is just what's going to work. That's what's going to get a lot of touchdowns for the Patriots. And Packers, Davante Adams might just fucking shit on this Patriots secondary. I wouldn't fucking be surprised if he had over 100 yards with 2 tugs. And it's going to fucking feel so good when you idiots do not pick the Packers. But I hope you do, because this is a for sure one.
Aaron Rodgers plus 5.5 points. Yeah. It doesn't get better than that. We talked about these quarterbacks, Philip Rivers plus points, Drew Brees plus points. At the end of the day, the quarterback, no matter how you feel about the rules to keep them safe or whatever, they are the most important piece, at least on the offense of the ball. You at least got to give them that, if not the whole entire team, because the teams go with the quarterbacks. We've seen it with teams who their quarterbacks have gone down, they shit the bed, they get a franchise quarterback, and all of a sudden they're a Super Bowl team. We've seen how it turns out, and these are two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady, going to be one of the highest scoring games this week, right up there with the Saints and the Vikings. Two games that are going to be absolutely fantastic. I mean, playoff implications in both of them already. It's going to be fantastic. At the end of the day, we're both taking the Packers plus 5.5 points. We're both taking the over 57 points. I think both these teams can easily put up 30 points as Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady will battle it out to see who truly is the greatest of all time. I know it's just a regular season game, but hey, head-to-head matchups. Let's see what happens, baby. Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers. And let's go ahead and move on to our Monday night game, our final game of the week, where we got the Tennessee Titans taking on the Dallas Cowboys. Both these teams are coming off a bye week, so they both had 2 weeks to prepare for each other. And the Dallas Cowboys got 2 weeks to get ready for Amari Cooper making his debut in Dallas. You guys already know how I feel about this trade. If you don't know, go check out the Raiders podcast from last week. I gave you my full Amari Cooper trade reaction. But, hey, I think he's going to do good things for this Dallas Cowboys offense. I don't think Dak's going to be able to throw deep to him, but I think they're going to get a lot of check down passes. We've seen that Cole Beasley has had a lot of success. If you can get the ball to Amari Cooper's hand in open space, he can do damage. He can be a very dangerous wide receiver. The Dallas Cowboys are favored by 6 points in this game. That's a touchdown spread right there. It makes it interesting because the Tennessee Titans are one of the teams that I hate betting on. I mean, they're one of the most inconsistent teams. They seem to keep it close, so it's going to be interesting. But get this. I talk about the Carolina Panthers being such a good home team. The Dallas Cowboys are actually undefeated at home. This was surprising to me when I see it. I obviously wasn't keeping as much track as I would with the Carolina Panthers. But the Dallas Cowboys, this defense has improved. They got a playmaker in Amari Cooper, and they're undefeated at home. I think they might get the job done. Minus 6 points. I think Amari Cooper has a big day, and they can get the job done. Minus a touchdown over the Tennessee Titans, Al.
Well, the last game of our picks, and you know what? It's good to end on a both agreeing on the same thing. Oh, attaboy, wow. Marcus. That's the way I like it. Come on. Dallas Cowboys at home Monday night against the Titans. This is a for sure win as well, guys. Come on. Amari Cooper. Sorry, Marcus, but Amari Cooper to the Cowboys. That just might turn Wack Prescott into Dak Prescott, okay? I know we talk a lot of shit about him not being able to throw the deep ball. But maybe Amari is what Dak needs, okay? Because look, who does he really have to throw deep? You're not going to throw to Tavon Austin deep. You're not going to throw to fucking Butler. Is he still on the team deep? Cole Beasley's their main receiver, okay? Cole Beasley. Not trying to knock him, but he's not much of a monster receiver. Amari Cooper is in his prime, 24 years old. I think this is what the Cowboys honestly needed. And, I mean, come on, they're playing the Titans. I'm not saying that they're going to fucking automatically win playoffs, but at a primetime game at home against the Titans, minus six, 41 points, definitely taking the over. Because, you know, this Dallas defense still isn't the top-tier defense. I still see Mariota putting up at least 14 points. Cowboys are probably going to put up over 30. This is for sure a Cowboys win and a for sure over. Marcus, I hope you agree on the over. That would be one hell of an ending on this podcast.
Hey, I'm going to have to say, with the amount of cowboy hate that you spew out on this podcast, I thought you were going to say we ended this podcast on a disagreement, but I'm agreeing with you with the Cowboys minus six, and I'm agreeing you with the over because, like you said, only 41 points. The Dallas Cowboys have been putting up points, and with 2 weeks to prepare, Amari Cooper now, the over has hit 11 out of 13 times when the Dallas Cowboys have came off a bye since the start of the 2005 season. So you know they're cooking up plays in the backfield. At the same time, the Dallas Cowboys are 10-3 against the spread when coming off a bye since the start of the 2005 season. So since 2005, it seems like the Dallas Cowboys coming off that bye are one of the better teams in the NFL. Coming out, spending a first-round draft pick on Amari Cooper, you know they got to ball out. They got to try to show that it paid off, and they got to try to prove it right to Jerry Jones that he made the right move. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to come out hot. This crowd's going to be hyped for Cooper's debut, and I definitely like the Dallas Cowboys, like Alan said, to get the job done, minus 6 points, and to hit that over of only 41 points. Yeah, let's lock it in.
Yeah, Titans, you know, you guys, you also got to remember, Titans do not look like the team to be hungry to win. I think they're just there to fucking play. Like, I just do not see any type of fire in the Titans. I mean, look what we thought about with Derrick Henry. He has been a complete bust, if not the biggest bust, in 2018 season. Just let everybody down. And, yeah, the Cowboys, for sure, Titans are just not looking hungry at all. They're just going to show up to show up, get their fucking paycheck, and go home.
Hey, I have to agree with you. The Tennessee Titans are not looking hungry as a team, and that's coming from a fan of the Oakland Raiders who haven't looked hungry in the past couple weeks, but I'm saving that for a whole other podcast because we're going to have the reaction to the final Battle of the Bay. As much as I don't want to talk about that bullshit, what did I say? I'm going to be back covering the Raiders every week, or will I? I mean, if they're giving up halfway, will Marcus Boucher give up on the Raiders Recap Podcast? Tune in next week to find out on the Raiders Recap Podcast, only on the Bay's Golden Days Podcast, because that is every single game from week 9 of the 2018 season broken down right here on the Straight Cash Podcast by yours truly, Marcus Boucher, my partner, Alan Flores, bringing you free picks every single week against the spread. Go win some money. Like we said, bet with your gut. Who cares what the experts say? We're just a couple guys giving you some free picks and, hey, trying to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days like we do every single week. So once again, thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. No doubt about that. You can check us out on Google Play, on Instagram, on iTunes, on everything. I'm just giving you all of social media and all the podcast plug-in all at one spot. It's all the Bay's Golden Days. It's all at the Bay's Golden Days. You got to type it in on iTunes, type it in on Instagram, type it in on Twitter. You can find us anywhere on social media. If you want to go straight to the source, check out the website, bgdsports.com. It's the quickest place to get all the podcasts. It's all organized. It's nice and pretty. It's got a nice little Oakland, San Francisco skyline in the background. It's a cool little website. So check it out, bgdsports.com. And until next week, go ahead and lock in these bets, win you some money, and come on back to the Bay's Golden Days Podcast, baby. You know what it is. Sold it, sold it, sold it, sold it.
Stay gold, pony boy. Stay.